Okay, today's daf is Samach Aleph. We're going to start in the middle of Samach Amud Bet, actually, where the two dots are, right in the middle of the page. Bor Shehu Karov Lama. Okay? The Shir's Li Lenish Machan about the Tara Reza Batzara. And before Shlimo Dvar Batino is Avram Shimon Ben Chanakar Mipan Imo Ali Pina Barach of Frida Chaim Alka Esther Bat Zippor Daniel Ben Mirim Chayud Yosef Ben Rachele Bat Rivka Rafal Yosef Falak Ben Bracha Bat Yantim Mirim Bat Chana Rachel Yal Mirim Bat Chaya Rina Chaya Bat Shoshana Lezer Chaim Ben Dreza Yaakov Ben Moza. Okay, today we're going to, as we keep going from topic to topic, by the way, on Shabbat, we're going to finish the fifth parak and moving back to Inyanei Gittin in the sixth parak. So we're back to regular Gittin in another day, so enjoy it for now. The topical, you know, whether you prefer that or prefer the other option, it's only one more day. We're now going to go into the issue of Bor Shehu Karov La'ama. Okay, that was quoted by the Mishnah. And it was saying, this was all these cases of where we want to make distinctions as to who gets first priority for things so that we don't end up with a situation where people will start fighting over, I should get this first. So, or some other cases which we'll see after, but the beginning of the Mishnah was like that. We did the Kohanim with the Aliyot, that the Kohanim gets first, Levi, then Yisrael, to make an order there. Now we have this Bor Shehu Karov La'ama. Let's say you have a water, and from the water, that's where everybody irrigates their fields. So who gets first dibs on the water to water their fields? The person who's closest. So now we're going to see that this machloket isn't necessarily in every case. Okay? So Bor Shehu Karov La'aman, Samach Amud Bet in the middle. Itmar. B'nei Nahara, the people who live in the Nahar, meaning people who live alongside a river, Rav Amar Tatai Shatu, Maya Beresha. The people lowest down are the ones who get the water first. Ushmuel Amar Eli Shatu Maya Beresha. The ones who are the highest up, okay, presumably closer to the river, right? In other words, what happens is the people higher up live closer to the river, but then the river goes down. And then as the river goes down, the people at the lower part of the river, and as eventually, where's the water going to end up? At the people at the bottom, if you just let it follow its natural course. However, the people at the top are closer to the beginning of the river. So there's a machloka Rav and Shmuel as to whether the Rav says the lower people and Shmuel says the upper people. Okay, if you want, there's a sheet today which maps out some of the stuff. Okay, so now they say, B'demezal kule amalo pligi. If the water just runs, and as the water goes down, it waters the fields along the way, then nobody argues. It obviously just takes its natural course. Ki pligi b'mischar v'ashkuye. The question is, what if you have to dam up the river to make it get to the upper fields? In other words, the river is going to flow down naturally toward the bottom. But if you need to dam the, you know, make a channel for it to go to the other fields at the top. So Shmuel Amar, Eli Shatumaya Beresha. Da'amrei Ana Mekarvinan Tfei. You understand, once you dam it, you're altering the natural course of the water. So as soon as you dam it near the top, Shmuel says, well, the upper ones are closest, so they have first dibs based on what we saw in the Mishnah, right? Bor Shehu Karov La'ama, and that's the one that gets filled first. So likewise here, we're going to say that the upper ones are going to basically be allowed to dam the river and basically prevent the ones at the bottom from the river taking its natural course of getting to them first. V'Rav Amar Tatai Shatumaya Beresha Da'amre Nahara Kepashte Leza. The lower ones should get, because what do they say? The water's following its natural course. It should get to us first. If you want to get the water, so after it gets to us. So now, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. And we're going to quote our Mishnah now and say that our Mishnah seems to contradict Rav. Because what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said it's all about who's closest. The bor gets filled up by whoever's closest to the Amah. So therefore, here also with the fields, the closer field should get it. So Tanan, bor karov la'amah mitmalei v'shom mipnei darkei shalom. So that sounds like it contradicts Rav. So now, interestingly enough, Shmuel gives an answer for Rav. What could he say? Tirgum Shmuel aliba de Rav be'amah mitalechet al pi boro. He's talking about the case of the Mishnah, according to Rav, will be explained as not a case where you, and that's, what's the similarity between the cases? A bor, you also have to take the water out of the amah to water, you know, to fill up your well. So therefore, it seems to be the same exact case. So Shmuel says, no, you can explain the Mishnah. Okay, there's actually a nice picture in the cover, and I'll show you. Where there's a boar, it's not the greatest picture, but you can sort of see that there's two kinds of borot. This is a boar that's right alongside the ama, okay, the channel, and it, how do you translate ama? An irrigation channel. And the water goes into it automatically without actually changing the course of the water, okay, as opposed to here where you have to build something to, you need to dam it. So what they're saying is, you can look at the picture, what they're saying is that Shmuel says, Rav can explain the Mishnah that it's a bore where the water automatically goes into there. And that's why the person who's closest gets first, because the water comes in without any sort of change. And therefore, it's not the same as the field that we're going to have to dam up to get. And that's why Rav would say like this, in a case where it fills naturally, because, and that's the case of the Mishnah, the bore, mitmalei al piyama, that it happens by itself. And therefore, it happens, he gets first dibs, because it's naturally, it goes to him first. So then he's going to get first dibs. So obviously, the question is going to be, well, what's the chiddush? If it fills automatically, well, then who needs to tell him that he gets first dibs? It happens anyway. Okay, whereas in the case where you have to dam it, Rav would say, the people who would naturally get it first, meaning the people at the bottom who aren't actually closest, but are the ones who would get it first, are going to get it first, and only after that can the upper ones take. So now they're going to say, so if that's the case, ihachi ma'ilam emra. Obviously they're going to get first. So no, because ma'u detema matze amrele sachar mischar va'ashke behinza. Kamash malan. But you might have thought that they could say, one second, the other people could say, we're going to dam the river so that you don't get water first, so that we can all get equally. In other words, you shouldn't be any... Let's say this guy happens to just be lucky, right? Here's the water irrigation channel, and here's his bore, and it fills up automatically. So what's the chiddush of Rav saying he gets first, right? Obviously he gets first, it happens naturally. So you might have thought that all the people around who have these borot that are not alongside the water, they have to fill it their own way. Right? So they might say to him, look, we're going to close up this hole and make you just like the rest of us, and you have to fill it up the way we do. Hinza, there's many, it's obviously a strange word, doesn't appear very often. Many different interpretations. Some people say it means equally, some people say it means manually. You know, there's all different interpretations of what exactly it means, but the basic bottom line is that you might have thought that since he's in an unfair advantage over the rest of them, we might put him at the same position as the rest of them, and the answer is no. If his naturally fills up, then he gets first. And that's how Rav will read the Mishnah. Okay? So, Amar Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa. Now here's an interesting, very interesting halacha. Hasht or psak. Okay, the question is, what do? We have Rav, we have Shmuel. This is a very big issue, because this probably happened a lot, where people irrigated their fields from the same water, and it was a big issue. If there wasn't enough water, everybody would fight over it. So now we have one opinion that says the upper fields, one opinion that says the lower fields. What are we supposed to do? So he says, Hashta delo itmar hilchata lo kimar velo kimar, since nobody paskind either like Shmuel or like Rav, kol de alim gvar, whoever's strongest wins. Okay? Now this is a fascinating halachic concept. The commentaries have a field day on this. What does this mean? And it doesn't sound like part of our religion, right? The strongest one wins? I mean, what does that mean? So there's all different interpretations as to what this means. Okay? Some people say that this is the way that it's a case where the Dayanim just can't rule. And therefore they say, we're just backing off, right? As you deal with it on your own. Until someone can bring a better proof, there's nothing we can do about it. We can't. Now, even though we say Hefker Beit Din Hefker, they don't want to do Hefker Beit Din Hefker and say, we can come in and decide what's what, because they really don't know what the situation is. It's like, you know, it's hard to put one person at an advantage and the other at a disadvantage. So they say, we really don't know what to do. You guys fight it out yourselves. Which, by the way, negates the whole concept of this Mishnah of having things instituted for the purposes of Darkei Shalom and having Seder. This is like the opposite of Seder. Another option is to say this actually is halacha. This is the Dayanim taking the halacha into their hands and saying, first of all, according to the first interpretation, if someone were to eventually bring a proof as to which way was right or somehow could prove it, then we would switch it back, right? The other option is to say, if we leave something like this open, the fighting will never end. So the Beit Din has to come in and make a hachra'ah. The problem is they can't decide. So their hachra'ah is whoever's strongest gets it. Meaning, if you're the stronger one, you win. And it's yours 100%. And no one's going to take it away from you later. Right? In other words, this is a hachra'ah sofit. It's a definitive decision. Where the Beit Din is making a decision, but the decision is just, we're not going to get involved, and you're going to, you know, whoever gets it first wins. Now, another theory is that whoever really cares the most is going to be the one who really rightfully belongs to. Now, in this case, it's a little different. Kol Da'alim Gvar is often in cases, this is a strange one, because this is more like who has rights and there's no real right answer. Often it's used where it's, we don't know whose money it really is. And it's a situation where there's a safek about the money, whose it is. So we say Kol Da'alim Gvar, and the concept being that whoever is really right is going to make sure to find more proofs or make sure to make it happen, or he'll grab it first because he knows it's his. Again, it's a very difficult concept. There's interpretations given, but we'll leave it at that for today. We'll see it a bunch more times in the Nizik and Sugyas. Okay. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, now we're going to have a very interesting story. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Ata L'Kameh D'Abai, he comes in front of Abai. Amar le lotvan mar beidana. Can you sit with me and make some time to learn with me? Amar le eat li idna lididi. I have time that I make for myself to learn. I don't have time to learn with you. Sorry, I don't have any time. The lotvan mar belel, yeah? So what about at nighttime? Okay, you're busy all day, but how about at nighttime? Amar le eat le mayel ashkuye. That's the time I have to water my fields. Amar le. How about I water your fields during the day and you learn with me at night? He says, fabulous. Sounds like a great plan, right? Abai would obviously rather learn than water his fields at night. So now, what does this guy, Shimi Bar Ashi, do? He goes to the people in the upper fields. Now, apparently, it seems like Abai had one of the middle fields, okay? So, he goes to the people in the upper fields. Amar lehu, tatai shatumaya beresha. He said to them, hey, you know what? You don't get first dibs. The people at the bottom get first dibs. Okay? He's basically saying we paskin like Rav. Aza litatai, he goes now to the bottom people. Amar lehu, what does he say to them? Eli shatu maya beresha. You wonder why he needs to learn with a bai. He clearly knew what he was doing. Okay? Now he says we paskin like Shmuel, that the upper people get to dam up the river and do what they want. Adahachi, in the meanwhile, Sachar Mishar Va'ashke. So what does he do in the meantime? He dams up the river exactly where Abaye's field was and takes the water first. Ki ata l'kameh Abaye, when he goes in front of Abaye, and Abaye hears about this, Amar le, kibay tre avadli. You did to me like Rav and like Shmuel. Okay, remember we saw this with the Gittin case, though? It was actually Rav and Shmuel also, where the guy wouldn't give her the ketubah, and she says, you judge me like Beit Trey, you said, oh, HaTovah Ketubah Tabah Beit Din is like Shmuel, and you won't let me take my ketubah like Rav, and you've got me in the stuck situation. So he says the same thing, you did to me both like Rav and like Shmuel. Velo ta'aminhu Abaye l'peire da'hu shata. And Abaye wouldn't touch any of the fruits of his field that entire year. Okay, that was his, you have to remember, by the way, Abaye was very poor, and he didn't have a good life. And it, you know, to not do that must have been a very big deal for him, although you could say he was mistapek b'mu'at because, you know, he managed to live on not a lot anyway because, in general, he didn't have an easy life, although you see here that he did own fields. Maybe he got a little wealthier at some point in life. Anyway, he was an orphan, had a tough life. So anyway, he said,
in the middle, which you have to believe is the least desirable.
Right, that's true. He obviously had the least desirable of the fields because his field was the last to be watered. Okay, so anyway, he obviously said this guy did wrong. Now, the question is, what was the guy thinking? And there, there's a whole discussion among the Mefarshim. Maybe they think since there's no halacha like Rav or like Shmuel, maybe he thought you actually could do like both. And maybe he thought he was doing something good. Right? Maybe he wasn't meaning to be evil. He figured, okay, well, if the halacha is not like him, the halacha is not like him, well, then we could do whatever we want. And maybe it's also called alim gvar, right? Alim doesn't always mean, alim means stronger. The stronger one wins. But it doesn't always mean stronger. It could be the smarter one. And maybe he thought that he was you know, actually doing what the halacha was, or maybe he really wasn't doing anything so right.
He's clearly a problem solver because it's the mirror image of his conversation with Abaye. He's like, you want to learn
Yeah, fair, right. He was a problem solver. That's very good. I like that, Donna, that it's the same type of conversation he had with them as the way he had with Abaye, trying to figure out which way to, you know, if it doesn't work this way, it'll work some other way. Very good, Yafeh. You see, he was stubborn also, right? And as he was going to get what he wanted. Okay, b'nei hanu b'nei be'charmacha. Here's another story about people who lived in this place. De'azo karu b'resha de'shanvata. Okay, they first dug it, they dammed the Shanvata River. Okay, you can also see a picture in the Koran here. Okay, this is, the Shanvata River comes off the Euphrates, you can see here. And what they did was, v'adru'a v'shadu'a b'shilhei nara. So they took the river. Okay, the river came off the Euphrates. Here's the Euphrates. The river comes off the Euphrates. And they made a little dam here for the water. Instead of flowing straight, it was going to flow into their field and then back out and dump into the river. The problem is that this caused a problem to other people. Why? Okay? Atu ilai lekamet abaye. The people living near the Euphrates in the upper part where the river came off said, this is messing up our fields. Amrule kamatki linahara. This is causing, because the flow now into the Shanvata is slowing down because of the dam, so now there's too much water over here and it's flooding our fields and it's ruining them from too much water. So Amar Lahu, what does he say? Karu bahadaihu tve porta. Dig deeper into the Shanvata River, which will build up the current in the river and the river will flow faster. Amrule kayav sheperin. If we dig deeper, then what's going to happen? It's not going to even overflow into our fields. Then it won't overflow at all, and then we'll have no water. So Amar Lahu, now this, again, this conclusion is difficult. Not clear what exactly this means. Zilu sliku nafshaychu mehatam. Some people think this means we'll go move somewhere else. In other words, I have no resolution for you because I can't, you know, they have rights to do what they did, and there's nothing I can do about it. And basically, go find yourself better fields. That's one of the interpretations. There's others also, but we'll stick with that. Okay, which is obviously a difficult answer, right? It's go move, right? It's not so easy to just pick up and move. Okay, mitzudot chayav ofof v'dagim yesh behem mishum. You remember this? If you set up a trap, what's the situation? You don't own what comes into your trap until you actually do a kinyan on it. So therefore, if someone comes along and takes what's in your trap, so they can take it. So the Mishnah says, "Mitzudot chayav ofof yesh behem mishum gezel mipnei darkei shalom." If you take what someone else trapped, it's aser mishum darkei shalom. Rabbi Yossi says it's gezel gamur. So there's a machloket about it. So now what do they say? Be'ozle ve'ohare kule amalo pligi ki pligi be'lachi ve'kokre. Okay, so they say it depends what type of trap you're talking about. If it's a trap that has a very narrow opening and a wide bottom, which means once the animal goes in, he can't come out at all, there nobody argues because since it has an area where it gets kind of, it's called a beit kibul, it gets accepted into there because it can't get out and it's a very clear place. So therefore, it's as if there's a kinyan, even if you didn't actually do a kinyan, and therefore it's gezel gamur, everybody agrees. But their machloket is when you have something that's more open and it doesn't have exactly a collecting area. And in that kind of a case, right, let's say it's on a fishing rod. Right? So on a fishing rod, it's not inside anything. So there, until you actually take it, it's not yours. So it could be that the Gemara is saying that's the case where there's a machloket, where there's no actual kinyan done without you being there, and that's when they have a machloket about it. Mitziat chayresh shoteh v'katan. So again, we had a machloket in this case. If they find a mitzia, and then someone else takes it from them, since they can't do a technical kinyan, so it's not really gezel, but in order so that the relatives don't get angry and get into a fight with them, we said mishum darkei shalom, that it's gezel, and Rabbi Yossi says it's gezel gamur. Amar Rav Chisda, gezel gamur midivrehem. He says it's not, when he says it's Yezel Gamur, he obviously only means Drabanan, because it can't possibly be Do'oraita, because me Do'oraita, a Katan can't have a Kinyan at all, and neither can a Cheresh or a Shoteh or a Katan, or a Cheresh or a Shoteh. So therefore, they say when Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel, he means me Drabanan. So Lamai Nafkamina, what's the Nafkamina about? Between, if he says it's only me Drabanan, So Darkei Shalom is also midrabbanan. So what's the difference between the two opinions? Lahutzi o b'dayanin. If it's gezel gamor midrabbanan, then let's say this katam finds something on the street. He picks it up. Let's say he finds a diamond ring. He picks up the diamond ring, takes it home, and then someone steals it from him. Okay? Yeah. According to the halacha, the person didn't steal anything because it's not his. Okay, but according to, let's say he doesn't come home. Maybe if he walked into his house, maybe someone else in his house, you could say it came. Let's say he finds him on the street, and then someone just grabs it out of his hand. So, according to the Darkei Shalom, it's Asur Midrabanan. And according to, right, to steal, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's Gezel Midrabanan. So what's the difference? The difference is that if you say it's Darkei Shalom, if the person already took it, then the Dayanim can't take it out of his hands. It's just saying, don't do it because Darkei Shalom, but if you already did it, it becomes yours already. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, who says it's Gezel Midrabanan, it'll never, like the Dayanim can take it out of your hands, basically. Ani Hamidakef Barosh HaZayit. This was the Ani was picking at the very top of the Zayit. Some fell down. And if somebody picks them up, Masha Tachtav, okay? So we said there, again, it's Gezel Mipnei Darkei Shalom, and Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel Gamor. So now is a brayta about this. Tana. Im li kate v'natam biyad, hareze gezel gamur. If he picked it by hand, and then it fell down, then it's gezel gamur, because he already had it in his hand. Rav Kahana, hava ka'aza lehutzal. Rav Kahana was going to hutzal. Chazi lahu gavra, de hava shade ofie. V'kanatran tamari. Rav Huna is passing by this tree, and he sees a guy who's smacking the tree. It's a date tree, palm tree. He's smacking the tree, and the dates are falling down. Azo kaman kifa achil. Very strange. Rav Kahana comes by and starts eating the dates that this guy dropped off the tree. It sounds like the way people, the way they do olive trees nowadays, right? They hit the trees, and that makes the olives fall down, okay? So, obviously, they did the same thing with the dates. Also, the dates, right, are very high up. So Amarle Chazei Mar Debiadai Shaditinu. Didn't you see? He screams at Rav Kahana, "Hey, didn't you see that I just picked those with my hands? Why are you taking them? They're mine." Amarle Me'atrei Rabbi Yoshiata. You must be from the city of Rabbi Yoshia. Okay, the assumption being that Rabbi Yoshia taught Torah very well to all the people, and therefore, I think he thought that this guy, like either some of the Mefarshim say he thought he was not Jewish even. And that's why he took them. And other people say, no, he just didn't think he was a knowledgeable guy and he knew the halacha. And here he's saying, wow, you're from the place of Rabbi Yoshia. Kari Alev Tzadik Yisod Olam. They say about Rabbi Yoshia that he's a Tzadik Yisod Olam. He built the foundations very well because he taught all his people halacha really well and he was impressed that this guy knew halacha. Now, how Rav Kahana was taking this is very strange, right? Rav Kahana, very well-respected rabbi. How is it that he's taking the dates here? Unclear exactly. Like we said, either maybe he thought they were non-Jews. Still, you have to worry. I mean, right, we're going to see the next line is all about non-Jews and treat them the same way. So, because of Darkei Shalom. So, anyway, it's a strange story. Tani Rabbanan, Mifarnesin aniye nochrim im aniye Yisrael, umivakrim chole nochrim im chole Yisrael, v'kovrim metei nochrim im metei Yisrael, mipnei Darkei Shalom. Okay, if you're going to give tzedakah to poor people, give not only, this obviously goes against the concept of aniye yircha kodmim l'aniye iracheret, right, and that generally we try to give to Jews, but here it's saying no. You dafka have to also support the poor nochrim in your town, okay, because of Darkei Shalom. Same thing about visiting them, same thing about burying them. Now, most of the Mefreshim say here, notice the wording, im chole Yisrael or im metei Yisrael. It's only if you're going to bury people who are dead. And then, you know, there happens to be a non-Jewish one and you ignore it. Like, that's the problem. But if there happens to be a non-Jewish body, it doesn't mean you're responsible for it, okay? It's only if you're in the middle of anyway burying people or you're visiting other sick people, then you have responsibility equally to visit the non-Jewish people also. Okay. New Mishnah. Mash'elet isha l'chaverta ha'chashuda ala shvi'it nafa ukvara v'rechaim v'tanur. Here you have a woman who's chashuda la shvi'it. Okay, we're suspect of this woman. We have reason to believe that she doesn't keep shnat shmitah. Okay, she doesn't do. So she's going to basically be using stuff that. And that's what's the issue? Rashi says lishmor perot shvi'it ulhatznia mina bi'ur ve'elach. After this man of bi'ur, meaning once, right? What does it say about shmitah? Lecha ulabehem techa. The fruits that grow, you can use them, and you can, for you and your animals, as soon as there's no more outside for your animals to eat, you have to get rid of everything you have in your house. So basically it means you can't collect large quantities, and you know, you can't bring large quantities into your house, and if you do and you store them and the Zman of Bi'ur already passed where there's no more for the animals in the field and you still have it in your house, that's a problem. Now let's say this woman has stuff that she hid and she hid away. Now you're going to lend her your utensils. She's going to use your utensils for an avera, because she's going to be using the produce that's usher to be used. So according to this, you're still allowed to lend her your sieve, your sifter, your mortar and pestle, your oven. You can do that, but you can't do the avodot with her. You can't help her grind or help her sift or anything like that, because then you're really helping an avera. Eshet chaver. If you're a woman who's married, interesting, they call you an eshet chaver. They don't call you a chavera, okay? Here it's, your husband is someone who keeps halacha, so the assumption is you do too. Mash'ele le'eshet ami ama aretz, because she can lend to a woman who's an ama aretz, who's not keeping the halacha. Nafal kvora, okay, you can lend to the sifters. U'boreret v'tochenet u'murakedet ima. And you can even help her sift and grind. Aval, but once she puts the water into the mixture, okay, but you can't help her once you're past the lisha point. Okay, once the water goes in, there's a question about whether we mean when you actually put the water in or when you start to do the kneading of the dough. Okay, we're going to have a question about this. Why exactly? Right, what's the difference between the Am Haaretz? What's the Am Haaretz Hashuda about? Are we worried about Trumat HaMasrot? Okay, in which case, the question is, why are you allowed to be Borer or Tochen Ima if she's got stuff that's got Trumat HaMasrot mixed in? Or is it an issue of Tuma and Tahara? That once you put, what's the issue? Why would that be significant with the water? Things are not mukhshar lekabel tuma until they get water put upon them. So once the water goes in, then you have to worry that she's going to be metame. What's the issue here? The challah. In other words, this is a mixture now. If you're making bread, this is a mixture that's going to have challah in it because you're going to be mafresh challah from it. So once you're metame the mixture, then you're going to be metame the challah. And then you're going to be helping her in ovrei avira. V'kulan lo amru elam epnei darkei shalom. Okay, what we allow here is only allowed because of darkei shalom. Meaning it really is a problem in general for all these things, but mishum darkei shalom, they allow what they allowed. Umachzikim yidei nochrim bashvi'it, aval lo yidei Yisrael. Okay, you can help nochrim work their land on the shvi'it if they need, but not Yisrael. V'sho'alim b'shlomam epnei darkei shalom. And you should say hi and ask people how they're doing. Non-Jews also, mishum darkei shalom. Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa. So now we want to know, okay, I charted these out. What's the difference between in the Resha, where if you see in the Resha, with the woman who's Hashudala Shvi'it, you can't help her do the Breira, the sifting and the grinding. But when it comes to the Ama'aretz, you're allowed to do it with her. So Amar Abai, two different answers are given, Abai and Rav. Amar Abai, Rav Ama'aretz mastering him. We're not worried about Masrot, okay? So since we're not worried about Truman and Masrot, it's okay for you to help them. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing in the first stage. It's fine. So therefore, they're not chashudim on that, whereas the Ishachat Yishudala Shvi'it, the assumption is her produce is already forbidden produce at this point, okay? Okay, Rava Amar, Hachaba Amar Aretz de Rabbi Meir, Betuma Betara de Rabbanon. Okay, what does he say? These are Amei Aretz according to the definition of Rabbi Meir. And the Tumah and the Tara that we're dealing with is Durabbanan. So what does this mean? Ditanya. Ezehu Amei Aretz. Here's a machloket about what is an Amei Aretz. Kol she'eno ochel chulim b'tahara divrei Rabbi Meir. The Amei Aretz is someone who doesn't eat chulim b'tahara. Do you remember we had this whole thing about the Prushim in those days would eat even, right, normally, what do you have to eat b'tahara? Only if you're a Kohen and it's Truma. But the Prushim decided that we're going to eat everything b'tahara. We're going to treat all chulin as if it has to be in b'tahara. And therefore, you can't be metameh the chulin at all. And then we talked about that there's an ister even, metameh chulin. Okay, even though there's really no problem, but the Chachamim instituted, because so many Prushim were very careful about this, that it's usher to be metameh chulin. So now, Rechulin is anything that's not Kodesh. So now, What does he say? Rabbi Meir says the Amei Arts we're talking about are just not the people who are the Prushim, who eat the Chulin Betara. They're people who aren't Machpid, and they eat Chulin even Betuma. The Chachamim Omrim, Kol She'eino Ma'asir Perotav. Okay? And Amei Arts is someone who doesn't do Truma Ma'asra. So now they're saying that this is what Rava says, that it's the Amei Arts to Rabbi Meir, and the issue is Tumah and Tahara, which, like I said, makes sense because once you put the water in, that's the stage where they're not trustworthy anymore, because then it's going to be Tameh, because we're assuming that they're not going to be careful about the Tumah and Tahara. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, Vahami dekatane seifa, but that doesn't make sense, because in the seifa it says, Mishitatila tamayim loti gaima, which makes it sound like what? That Michlal de reshalat betumah v'tahara askinan. It sounds like the issue at the end is the Mishitatila Tamayim Loti Gaima because of Tumah and Tahara. But remember, the first part has to be something that is problematic, right? But Mishum Darkei Shalom, they said it was okay. So it sounds like it's not a Tumah and Tahara issue. And what's he saying? It is a Tumah and Tahara issue. In other words, the Tumah and Tahara issue is even in the first part. The whole thing is, why are we allowed to do the Nafa and the Kfar and all that? Because, what does he say? He says, because there's chashud on the Tumah and Tahara, but at that stage, it's only Tumah and Tahara midirabanan. That's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is, here, we're going to make it very clear. The first case is talking about, right, Nafa, Ufara, and all that, right, giving her that, and then Loti, right, then you can be Tochen, and you can be Roked, and all, right, all the pu'lot of sifting and grinding. The second thing talks about Imisha Tatila Tamani. Okay? Now, that, what they're saying now is, if this is a Tumah case, right, then the assumption is that this is not a Tumah case. Okay? That's the assumption. The right, first we wanted to say that this is also Tumah. Mishum Tumah, it's Aser, but Mishum Darkei Shalom, they matired it. And it's only Tumah Durabanan, and that's why they matired it. That was Rava's explanation. But now they say if the second part is Tumah, it doesn't make sense that the first part is Tumah. Because if they're both Tumah, what should we say? So if we matured it, we matured it. If we don't matured it, we don't matured it. What's the difference now between the two cases? So they're saying it doesn't make sense. It sounds like only the end part is Tumah and the beginning part isn't a Tumah issue, which what would it be then? It would be like we said before, it would be a Truma Masra issue, right? Had they taken Truma to Masra. So now what are they saying? No, you can actually explain that both. What do you say? Reisha b'seifa b'tumah v'tara, b'reisha b'tumah chulin, b'seifa b'tumah chala. Why are we more machmir in the second case? Because there we're talking about the Tumah of chala, which is a do-raita Tumah issue. Right, this now is a mixture. As soon as you put the water in, it's going to be makabel tumah, and then you're going to be matame the challah, which is asur midoraita, as opposed to the beginning where we're just talking about regular tumah and tahara stuff, which is only an issue because we're talking about chulin, and it's only an issue for the prushim, and it's a sakana chachamim that we can override, and therefore we can say that the reisha is also tumah, but it's a different kind of tumah. Okay, so the reisha is tumah Durabana, and the Seifa is Tumah Deoraita. And that's how Rava explains it. Okay. Uriminu. Now we're going to ask another question. Okay, according to Rava. We're going to have a problem now, if you look at the chart, okay, between the Eshet Chaver, okay, that we just talked about, is Mash'ele Eshet Ama Aretz Nafau Kvura Uborer Betochen and Murakedet Ima, right, Abal Mishet Tatil Tamayim, etc., versus this source, this also Tanaitic source. Uriminhu is always a word that puts together two sources that are at the same level. So we have two sources from the Tkufat HaTanaim that don't agree with each other now, according to Rava's interpretation. Tochanin umafkidin etzel ochle shvi'it ve'etzel ochle perotehem betumah, aval lo ochle shvi'it ve'lo ochle perotehem betumah. You can be tochen, and you can be mafkid, your food, by an ochle shvi'it, okay, by someone who's ochel shvi'it, ve'etzel ochle perotehem betumah, and people, if you have something and you want to store it in your friend's house, you say, can you watch over this for me? So even if they eat shvi'it, no problem, you can give it to them. And even if they eat their fruit b'tahara, you can give it to them to watch. Aval, Lola ochle shvi, belola ochle perotehem betuma. But you can't. Tochanin eitzel ochle shviit, but lo le ochle shviit. That means, I guess, that you can't give it to them.
It's a second. Question.
No, it's not a question. It's 1 second. Right, you can't do it for them. You can't grind their tefuah for them. Okay, if they give it to you to grind, you can't grind it for them. Okay, that's the difference between right eitzel them or not le'ochle. You can't grind it for them. If they ask you, can you grind my wheat? And their wheat is forbidden wheat or it's tamei wheat, you can't do that. Okay, Amar Abaye. So now, what's the issue? The issue is that what does it say? You can be mafkid eitzel ochle perotehem betumah. And what did we say that you right? So according to this. Right, you can't, right, the issue is the end of this. You can't grind their wheat for them. So how could it be, we said in the Mishnah, that you can help them grind their wheat, the Amei Aretz. So why all of a sudden do we say here that you can't help them grind? Okay, so Amar Abaye, Hatam b'kohen ha-chashud le'echol truma b'tum'a askinan. Dehave le'tum'a de'oraita. So what does he say? There, when it forbids it, it's talking about a kohen. Even though we didn't say it was talking about a kohen, right? What does he want to do? He wants to turn it into a de'oraita situation. Once it's de'oraita, right? What did we say in the beginning? The tochen case, what? Was tum'a de'rabanan. So he's saying, the braita that contradicts is tum'a de'oraita. What would be tum'a de'oraita when you're talking about grinding? Oh, it would be that it's truma of a kohen, and it's talking about a kohen. So then they say, "Ihachi mafkidin." If so, what does the beginning of this braita say? You can be mafkid your stuff etzel ochle shvi. You can be mafkid your truma etzel ochle shvi. What if or etzel someone who's ochle perotehem betuma? They're going to be matame your truma. How could you give them something to watch over, right? Or a minhu, and it contradicts. If you say mafkidin, what does it say in this braita? Mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael amaretz below etzel kohen amaretz mipnei shelibo gaspa. So what do you see here? You can't be mafkid your truma by a kohen amaretz because what's the issue? If he's a Yisrael amaretz, so we know he's going to leave it. He's not going to touch it. But if it's a kohen amaretz, he's used to eating truma, and we're worried that he's going to come in contact with your truma. You know, someone who's a Yisrael knows, keep away from your truma, he's going to treat it with respect. So now, you see here that, right, so if, right, so aren't we worried he's going to touch, according to this? Because you see, a kohen amaretz is chashudi, he's going to touch it. So Amar Rabbi Eli, hacha b'mayaskinan, b'kli cheres hamukaf tzamid patil. What's the issue? They're saying, yeah, of course you can be mafkid, but how can you be mafkid in a way that he can't be metameh? What's a way he can't be metameh? We've seen this before. That you put it in a kli cheres. Remember, a kli cheres is only metameh if you put your hand inside it, not if you touch the outside of a kli cheres. There's different dinim about different kelim, how they become tameh. So if you just touch the outside of the kli cheres, nothing inside is going to become tameh. If that's the case, what did you do? You put your truma in this kli cheres, you covered it, and you put this string around it, meaning like a seal. No one can get into this. So if that's the case, you can be mafkid it that way, because if it's totally sealed shut, no one's going to open it. And if someone gives something to watch, obviously they're not going to touch it. So now what do they say? Oh no, there's a separate problem. Belichush shema tesitenu ish tonida. There's tumat hesed. What's tumat hesed? Tumat hesed is for a zav and a zava and a nida. There's a certain tumah that they can contract, which is if they move something without touching it. If I move this table and that pushes that table and there's something tame on that table, that will be matame hesed, okay? Let's say, or I push something that pushes the food itself. So if I made something move without actually coming in contact with it, that's tumat hesed. Which means that the Kohen, if this is a Kohen Amaretz who's watching some other Kohen's Truma, and his wife pushes something, which pushes his thing that's wrapped up in this Kli Cheres with the Patil Tchelen, it's not going to help. that not Patil Tchelet, the Patil. Tamid Patil. Keep saying Patil Tchelet because
even though it's Kli Cheres and
it doesn't. So Kli Cheres and Matame Hesed anyway. Okay, it's possible there's actually a machloket about it, I think, but for sure, according to the Gemara right now, it can be Matame. So if that's the case, so it still should be an issue. How could you be mafkid? So therefore, this answer doesn't work. That we put in a kli cheres. We have to reject that answer. We'll give a different one. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah lo kashya. Kam b'peroch shuchshiru, kam b'peroch shalo uchshiru. This all goes back to if it's mukshir the kabel tumor or not. Did it come in contact with liquids? If it came in contact with a liquid, then you can't be mafkid. It's at somebody else's house because maybe they'll be metamein. But if it never, right, the source that said that you're allowed to do it would say that we're not worried because it never came in contact with water, in which case it can't contract to him at all. So you'd only be allowed to be give someone a picadon of something that can't be, that wasn't mukshar the kabel tumor. Now they're going to have another contradiction. Reminu, hamolich chitin letochen kuti o letochen amaretz hare elu bechez katan lemaaseru lishviit aval lo letumah. Okay, if you take these, you take chitim to a tochen, okay, who's a kuti, right, which we said he's not exactly keeping all the halachot, or a tochen amaretz hare elu bechez katan. For maaser and shviit, but not for tuma. So this means again. Right. We're not worried. If I brought my stuff to the store, okay? Now he has other stuff that's problematic. I can assume that when he gives me back my stuff, he gives me back my stuff. I don't have to worry that maybe he mixed it with something else. But in terms of tuma, since he's not makpid on tuma vitara, I could be worried that maybe he was metame my stuff. You follow? I'm not worried he's going to give me stuff that's not my sir, that he mixed my stuff up with someone else's. But I am worried that he's going to come in contact with my stuff in an improper manner and be metame. Okay? So therefore, what do we see? That they're chashud, that they're going to touch my stuff. Right? So how can we allow to be mafkid truma in the hands of people who are ochle peiro petuma? Okay, so now what do we have? Hi, my rumia. How can you even be asking this question? Didn't we just answer it? Didn't we just say that we're talking about peiro chaloch shiru lekabel tuma? Right, and that's a very strange question. It's saying, here's another brayta that seems to say you can't be mafkid, but we just said, right, because of tuma purposes, didn't we just say that we're talking about peiro chaloch shiru lekabel tuma? So that's why I say, hi, my rumia. Lav ugma bepeiro chaloch shiru, right? Didn't we just say it's talking about perot that can't contract tuma? So therefore, this bright is obviously talking about perot. Don't give your stuff to a tochen because he might make a tameh because it was already mukshar lekabel tuma. And our story that says you're allowed to be mafkid is talking about a case where it wasn't mukshar lekabel tuma. So now, what do they answer? Oh no! So that's their question. How could you even bring this contradiction? So now they want to know. Well, what were they thinking in the first place when they brought this as a contradiction? Udekarile, my karile. What do you think? Mishum dekabai lemirme acharite alav hare elu bechezkatan lemaseru lishvid v'lachlufe lo chayshina. So now they're saying it's really we passed down. It was the wrong question. Really, the question is that they wanted to bring a different contradiction. What was this contradiction? Here, let's read again from the beginning. In other words, what does this source seem to... We're not talking about the part about the tumah. What are we talking about? That you're allowed to bring your stuff to a tochen and we're not worried he's going to swap it with stuff that's the wrong, right? That's not maaser or something, or that's shvid. Ureminu, we have another contradiction from that. Hanoten lechamoto maaser, et shu noten la, ve'et shu notel hemena, mipnei shechashuda. Second, mipnei shechashuda, machlefet hamitkalkel. Okay, here we have a Mishnah, and it says in Demai, if you give stuff to your mother-in-law, okay, who's married to an Ama Aretz, and you give it to her to bake for you, so maaser et shunotein la, you can be you maaser it yourself. Ve et shunotel hemena mipnei shechashuda machlevet hamitkalkel. In other words, we're concerned that she's going to switch it with her own stuff. So after you get it, you have to miser it again. And you have to worry that she's not going to deal with it properly. So what do you see here? That in this case, we're worried that she's going to swap your stuff. And in the other case, we weren't worried that he was going to swap your stuff. So what's the answer? Hatam kedikatani tama amar Rabbi Yehuda rutsahi betakanat bita uboshat mechatana. We're worried that she's concerned that if, let's say, she makes that dough that he gave her, that was his stuff, right? That was all miser and everything. Let's say it comes out bad, okay? So what's she going to do? She's going to give him an alternate one because she's concerned, right? She's worried that, you know, her daughter wants everything to be good, and she's embarrassed from the son-in-law that if she gives him bad bread, you know, this is like all about bad relationship with the in-laws, okay, complicated relationships. So if it doesn't come out right, we're worried she's going to switch it. Whereas that concern doesn't apply in the case of the tochen. Okay? So now let's just finish a little bit more. Ule... okay. Are we really not worried in general about people swapping stuff and only in this particular case? This is someone who's going to bake for him. Again, he has to take maaser from it. Because she could very likely switch the stuff. So again, you see this. So now what do you say? No. In this case, also, it's unique. Why? Hatam moraya v'amra. Bar Beirav lecho chamima va'ana echo karira. Okay, what is she going to say here? She's saying if a Talmid Chacham gives it to her, what? She's going to say, I'm going to give him the bad stuff and I'm going to take the good stuff. In other words, again, if something goes wrong with it, she's going to swap it because there's this interest in her part to basically make it better for him. So last question. Va'akate la'am alo chashinan. Are we really still not worried? Va'atanya eshet chaver tochenet im eshet ha'aretz bizman shehit me'ah. Again, we're worried that she's going to take from the thing and swap it. Okay? So, hashta mignav ganva ben chilufei lo machalfa. In other words, here we're worried that she's going to basically... Here the issue is... Right, sorry, I didn't explain the case well enough. If she's Tme'ah, so then we're not choshesh that she's going to... Okay, so if you're doing this Tchina with your friend, you're doing the Tochem with your friend, so if the Eshet Chaver is Tme'ah, then... If she's Tme'ah, we're not worried that she's going to accidentally take the Tfuah of the other person. But if it's Bizman Shehi Tahora, we're worried that maybe accidentally she's going to eat from the other person's produce that she didn't take Maaser from. In other words, no, it would be the opposite, though. It doesn't make sense. Won't she Tme'ah?
Right.
The Esha Chavera is Tme'ah. So when she's Tme'ah, she's going to make sure not to touch anything else because she doesn't want to be Metameh anything. But when she's Torah, we're worried maybe she'll accidentally eat from the other person's stuff. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says even when she's Tme'ah, she shouldn't do it at all because the friend might give her, the friend who's not the Ama Aretz, might give her from her own produce, and she might accidentally eat it. In other words, in general, there might be some issue there. So here, we're basically, what are we concerned of? We're concerned that the Esh and Ama Aretz will take from her husband's, here we think she's stealing from her husband. She'll take from her husband's produce and give it to this other woman. So you have to remember, halakhically, they didn't own their husband's stuff, so it's actually considered stealing. That's why it's a little tough to understand, right? We don't have this. So we're not worried about chilufei lo machalfa. In other words, obviously, we're worried about her mixing stuff up. So shouldn't we be worried about that in general? So Amar Rav Yosef, hatam nami moraya va'amra, Torah midishe ka'achil. In other words, she would say, she would be moreha ter and say, in this case, I can give her because she's helping me. So like a shore, when he's plowing, we allow him to eat some of the stuff, right? So... she's working with me, what, she's not going to let me, like, I can let her eat some of my stuff, Okay, and therefore there's dafka concern. So basically we brought all these cases where it looks like people might swap the stuff, and we said, why doesn't that raise an issue for if I bring my stuff to the tochen and he grinds it, why am I not worried he's going to swap it? And we said that, you know, if you think about it, in all these cases, the guy didn't have any sort of relationship with the one who was grinding his wheat. Whereas in all these other cases, there was some relationship, and because of the nature of the relationship, there was a concern that there might be some swapping going on for whatever reasons. There were some ulterior motives. Whereas if you just bring it to a store, you and the storekeeper have nothing to do with each other, he's not going to swap your stuff. He's going to be more careful in that. Okay.